Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you because your word is true, your word is light. Thank you for illumination. Thank you for lighting our path this morning, helping us to see what you need us to see, to experience that quantum leap, that breakout from every form of standstill in any area of our lives, in every sphere of our lives. Thank you because we are leaving church today with a fresh perspective. There is a new dawning on our hearts today. There's light shining on our path today with conviction and boldness to step into all that you have preordained for us. Thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How to break out from stagnation. How to break out from stagnation. Stagnation, according to dictionary, Cambridge Dictionary says, a situation in which something stays the same and does not grow and develop. That means a state where growth and development stops. That's stagnation. And some of the synonyms are delay. You can also use denial, standstill. Now, I want you to know that delay, one of the synonyms of stagnation that we're looking at, may actually be permitted of God for you to grow through process of pruning, capacity, and at this point, that isn't stagnation actually. It is a delay, not a denier. But there are also sometimes when delay can be under the influence, strong influence of demoniacal forces, and its primary aim is to stop you or derail you. The goal is just to keep you in one spot. Make no mistakes about it, for we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. So somebody says, so how do I spot the difference if the delay I'm experiencing in every area of my life is actually permitted of God for me to grow capacity, or it is actually demon influence to stop me cold? It's very simple. Usually, if God is taking you through pruning, training you, getting you to come to understand certain, fundamentals and variables of the breakthrough that you need to factor in, one of the things that will stand out is you may not see physical evidence, but inwardly, you will see that there is joy, there is passion, there is drive, there is a growth inside. It's like somebody who is expecting a child. When he is pregnant, he can feel the baby moving, but it's not physical yet outside, but he can feel it. He knows. That's the basic difference. But once it is demon influence, you lost your passion, you lost your drive, you are not seeing yourself, going on a mission. You can't see any inward joy. There is no drive. There is no passion. There is no vision. You just find yourself, all right, procrastinating. Nothing seems to work, not even on the outside alone, but on the inside, it looks like your light looks bleak. That's usually a sign that something is wrong and that a demoniacal force somewhere, somehow, is influencing whatever you call delay. In that case, it is stagnation, and you have to rise up against it. And you have to know what to do so that you can break out from such. And there are two major causes of stagnation. Number one is prideful self-sufficiency. Number two is passive spirituality. Prideful self-sufficiency is when a man gets to a place where, he feels he doesn't need any advancement anymore. So he jettisons building and capturing factors and variables of advancement into his life. And so what he does at that point is he really prays because he feels he has arrived. Then the other one is passive spirituality, where when a person gets to a place where, all right, he doesn't see any reason to advance because for whatever reason, maybe because of past failures, all right, there is no drive for advancement. So the result is he merely prays. So he prays without fervor. But something stands out in both cases, prayerlessness. And let me tell you, when Satan wants to get you, he first of all takes away your prayer routine from you. He takes away your prayer life from you. Prayerlessness. So whether prideful self-sufficiency or passive spirituality, they have something in common. It therefore means that the solution is prayer. That's why I led you in prayer before we started. So, when the delay is God's permission, it's primarily God's plan to actually prune you, to train you, and make you actually grow capacity for what he has for you. Let me show you an example. In the book of 2 Kings 17 and verse 24, we saw an interesting incident here. You know, God has promised this, God's people a place that they will be called theirs. And so some persons came to drive them out. In the book of 2 Kings 17, 24, it says, "And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Kuta and from Ava and from Amath and from Sepharvaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria." Samarias are actually, they are cousins. They are, relative of Israelites. So they are Jews. So these people, Assyrian, they took the land of God's people, that's Israelites, instead of the children of Israel, and they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore, the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. So the lions slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, "The nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he hath sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them because they know not the manner of the God of the land." So they possessed this new land, but because they did not know how things are done in that land, they know not the manner of the God of that land, then lions began to, feed on them. Then the king of Assyria commanded. Now look at the swift response of the king of Assyria. The swift response of the king of Assyria was, he said, "Carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let them teach them the manner of the God of the land." So, in reverse teaching, when God is going to take you to a place, that is if he's responsible for whatever you call delay, his intention is to, first of all, train you. If he's taking you to palace, he first of all takes time to train you on how to behave in the palace. Now, just like we read in this proverbial teaching, looking at 2 Kings as a proverbial Bible reading, you find out that because they know not the God of the land, then they experience calamity. So in God's mercy, he might delay a certain expression so that you can learn what you need to learn that will sustain where he's taking you to. That's when it is God permitted. So if you go on, look at it. Media, please don't go out of it yet. Look at it. It says, "Howbeit every nation made the gods of their own and put them in the houses of the high places." Go to verse 28. That's where I want to read, 28. It says, "Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord." So that means if these Assyrians were already taught on how to fear the Lord and how to comport themselves in that land, when they took the land, and they behave that way, lions wouldn't have come. Is that true? So what God does is, he permits a form of delay, which is not a denial actually, just for you to actually learn what you need to learn and grow capacity to be able to undo where he is taking you to. Look at another perfect example in Exodus 23 and verse 28. Exodus 23 and verse 28. Exodus 23 and verse 28. He says, and I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Hittites from before thee. You know all the land God promised them? Then he says, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. This is God. You know, this is one of the staggering scriptures that a lot of believers in their hearts subconsciously argue with, because they believe that if God had promised me a quantum leap of some kind, then there must be like a sudden shift. You see, permit me to say this. In Christianity, we don't actually blow. We actually grow. Because when you blow, or when you all of a sudden, if you see anybody who woke up one morning, you just observe that person, quote and unquote, you know, in Africa, when we say blow, it means sudden success, overnight success. That's what we mean. For those that have been listening outside the country. When you see somebody have an overnight success, I bet you that night must have been a long night. It must have been like many years of nights. So, because if somebody peradventurally actually blew, in what you call blow, or somebody, it's like jumping up. If you jump up, you come down. But if you grow up, you stay up. A very simple example I can give. Look at the first Adam. The first Adam did not grow up. He started off as a man. And you see, the great was his fall. But look at the second Adam, Jesus. The Bible says about Jesus, it says, and the child grew in wisdom. And then he found favor with God. I mean, he grew. The first Adam did not spend 9 months in the tummy. He didn't grow. He didn't pass through. There was a circumvent of the normal natural process. So when it is God influenced, and look at it, he says, I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. You see, so now he is saying, look, if I drive all these people out and I make you to possess the land in 1 year, you wouldn't have enough capacity to actually inhabit the land, because there is a system of things that work that you must have enough capacity to tame the animal in that land. Otherwise, the animal will grow and then they will consume you. They will feed on you. This is God's system. And look at verse 30. Now says, by little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. Can you see that? By little, so here he's talking about capacity building. So God's plan sometimes could be to help you build capacity, but the problem is many times people murmur all through those seasons. I'll do another teaching on dwelling or going through temporary places. A lot of people don't know how to tabernacle in temporary places, how to condemn themselves in temporary places to where God is taking them to. But something will be very profound when a seeming delay is God-influenced. You would only not see a physical evidence of what you are expecting, but inward, you will see that your passion is alive. The drive is there. The joy of the Holy Ghost is there. Because there is something that defines a living above existing. You are either running on a vision, or you are burning with a passion, or you are going on a mission. Something of such must characterize, must be deeply rooted in your subconscious that keeps you going every day, even though you can't see physical results physically. Then you know that there is something you are learning, and you can evidently notice that you are getting better in your character, you're learning new things, and with joy. At such point, maybe it is God training and pruning you of some things to prepare you for the palace he's taking you to. But when you see your light inside is bleak, there is no joy, there is nothing inside you can feel growing, and also in the physical, nothing seems to move. Such time, the delay is a stagnation and it can be demoniacally influenced. At such point, you have to stand your ground in prayer. And like I said, there are two things basically responsible for some of these things. This what we call stagnation. Number one is prideful self-sufficiency. And the second one is passive spirituality. You know what? The prideful self-sufficient man merely prays. Why the passive spiritual man, what he does is, you know, he doesn't even pray. Because, you know, he does not have the drive, the passion. And something characterizes them both, prayerlessness. So when a man gets to a point where he plateaus, where he feels, well, he has arrived, not knowing that there are still many grounds to cover, these are the two basic causes of stagnation. So when delay is God's permission, it's basically to preserve us from the destruction, because for every new level, there is a higher responsibility. So what God prepares you for is how to manage that new level ahead. That's what he does. So that we can build capacity. But when a delay is demoniacally influenced, first thing is to pray for light. And that's what we just did before teaching. The Bible says, ask of me, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Ask of me. So you are now, this is something I'm going to stop here, then in second service I'll give you the steps to take on that. Praise God. Number one, I said you pray for light. Number two is you identify what belief pattern you have embraced that Satan latched on. You see, for every form of unhealthy experiences in a human life that you call stagnation, which I've told you are caused basically by prideful self-sufficiency or some passive spirituality or whatever, where you are experiencing a form of delay in any area of your life, there is always a belief system that Satan is lashing on. There is something you have subconsciously absorbed into your belief. There is something you have, in one way or the other, accepted. Let me give you an instance. So once you identify what that belief, wrong belief system is, you begin to dismantle it. And I'm going to show you how to do it. And the way you do it is very simple. The hearing of faith, number two, is prayer and fasting. Look, it's an old rugged Christianity. We're not trying to make Christianity look or give or looks. It's not a hype. It's a life. You can wear all the shoes, all the and look swaggers or swagalicious or what you call it. But the real thing about Christian faith has not changed. It's an old rugged faith. Let me give you an instance. Somebody is going through an experience that is unhealthy. And when you dig down, you realize that there is a belief, maybe an overbloated spiritual reverence of spiritual verdicts about their dream life. As simple as that could be, can be Satan's lashing and do on while you are experiencing whatever you call stagnation. There are some people who, for whatever reason, have lorded their dream life over themselves. So, for whatever reason, they have this reverence, holy reverence for their dream life. When I mean dream life, I mean dream in the night. So, if they find themselves, for example, all right, maybe swimming in the dream, and you know they couldn't get to the other part, they wake up with bad conscience. And their assumption of a sudden begins to tell them, you know what? That means you're going to experience difficulty. And it becomes a stronghold. Because for Satan to actually afflict you, he needs your belief. You see, faith is a neutral force. It can either be positive or negative. When it is towards God, that is when it is positive. For instance, fear is a form of faith. And what does fear mean? Fear simply means, you know, to have an expectation in the wrong direction. When someone is afraid of death, that means he's expecting death. That means he's literally expressing faith in the power of the enemy to harm him. Someone says fear is false evidence appearing real. True. But as long as you believe it long enough, that your body is already responding to it as though it has already happened. What else do you call faith? Now, when you now search what is the responsible factor behind that fear, a belief system of some kind. For example, a dream that someone has had. Because Satan can only afflict with two major entrance points, fear and ignorance. Those are the things Satan feeds on. What you are ignorant about becomes Satan's major stronghold. Number two is whatever you are afraid of, because fear is actually expressing faith. So that's why if you can neutralize your doubts and fears, and if you can personally stand your ground, and, you know, let me tell you this. There are three things about your prayer life that can keep you perpetually on fire. Now, this is not a doctrine, but this is a fact. If you pray over, if you do night prayers a lot, I can't explain. Don't ask me. Number two, if you do intermittent prayers a lot. Number three, if you engage in corporate prayers a lot. When I mean intermittent prayer, I mean short prayers. It could be 5-minute prayers during the day. You just pray in tongues 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, a little shambala here, a little shambala there. And then you do night prayers sometimes. Let me tell you something. Look, if you maintain a specific time in the midnight where you wake up and just pray 30 minutes in tongues every day for the next 1 year consistently, you will open up a fountain in your spirit. I'm telling you real stuff. Something will happen. No, something will happen. It's not possible. So what we are dealing with here is something very demonic. When I say demonic, see, demonic influences, they lash on an installed software of unbelief somewhere in any sphere of your life. It could be some superstitious belief. And there are only two ways. You need to hear God's word. Let me give you an instance. Look at Galatians 3 verse 5. Look at what the Bible says, Galatians 3 verse 5. We are still dealing with the spiritual aspect. In second service, I will deal with practicable steps to take. I won't reckon with these things I'm sharing, because as a Christian, you cannot approach things from a psychological point of view alone. It's spiritual. For instance, what is happening in Nigeria, you should know it is spiritual. How come every eight years, Nigerians just develop dementia? They forget all the worries, all the troubles of the last 8 years. What kind of stress elasticity do they have? You should know. He says, he therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you. Doeth he it by the words of the law or by the hearing of faith? He's asking a question. If you go for that, he's talking about the hearing of faith. So, hearing of faith is the solution to dismantle any form of belief. See, I repeat, what is injuring you is your fear. And behind every fear, there is a belief system deeply rooted, either consciously or subconsciously. So your responsibility is to pray for light, to know, so that you can dismantle that unbelief. Some persons are not in relationship because they feel all men has come. And can I be honest with you? You may not say it, but somewhere there is a fear that, all men that I know, this is the way they do. And you may just never may have put a spotlight of observation on it, but it is doing you a great harm that you may not have personally sat down to consider. For some people, the reason why they are not trying again is because of the past failure of yesterday. But failure is good. Failure proves to you that there are some factors of success that you did not actually, certain variables of success that you did not actually factor in before. Now, the next time you are trying, you factor them into it. As a matter of fact, failure is one of the steps, one of the processes, one of the ingredients of success. So now, the reason why you felt held back and you're not trying again, because you are afraid of the failure of yesterday, and that failure, that fear, what is holding that fear, or the foundation upon that fear is standing, is a belief of some kind. A lie that your mind has been made to believe. Listen, let me tell you something about your mind. Your mind cannot separate between virtual and real. It's the reason why you could have a dream and you are afraid. You wake up, you're already sweating, your palms are sweating, and it was just a dream. Because your mind can't differentiate between virtual and real. Look at this. Look at Mark 6 and verse 2. Let me show you how to deal with unbelief. Number one is the hearing of faith. Hearing of faith. He says, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor but in his own house and among his own kin and in his own house. So because of their unbelief, look at what happened. Verse 5 says, because of their unbelief, and he could there do no mighty work except that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And look at Jesus' response. Verse 6, and he marveled because of what? And what did Jesus do? He went round about the villages doing what? So the best way to drive away unbelief is teaching. You must hear the hearing of faith. And you don't, listen, the solution to unbelief is the hearing of faith. Like we just read in Mark 6 now. When Jesus noticed that he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief, he marveled. You know what he did? He began to teach. That's the solution to unbelief. And you don't just try to believe. You don't say, I believe now. Okay, now I make up my mind, I'll believe now. No, believing does not come that way. When you hear the word of God long enough, you would believe. Believe will happen naturally. Just listen to a message on a certain area of your life consistently long enough, you wake up one morning with a strong conviction that you cannot miss it. Then it becomes a capital in your own spirit. You can come up with, that's when you can speak some things like, for instance, you can interact so much with the light of God in his word about divine health until you wake up one morning and say, I can never be sick. This is no longer you talking in your head or you confessing to believe. This is you talking out of having believed. And that kind of belief comes from hearing. My God. The number two is prayer and fasting. I'm talking of how to dismantle unbelief upon which a certain fear or demon are already lashing on to permit a form of stagnation or any form of, standstill in any area of your life. Prayer and fasting. I know these things are very simple, but guess what? It's simple things that actually gives the results. You'll be amazed you know all these things. But if you truly know them, why do you need to work on them? That in itself proves positive that there's a demon behind it. I mean, when people know some things and they don't do it, look at this. Matthew 17 and verse 14. Matthew 17 and verse 14. Look at what the Bible says. It says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and so vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Don't forget, in this Matthew, in the same book of Matthew in chapter 10, he already gave them power against unclean spirits. So now the issue is not lack of power here. He says, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him thither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and it departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? They asked the question. And look at what it is. And Jesus said unto them, because of what? Not because of lack of power. And for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. How be it? Nonetheless, however, nevertheless, this kind of what? Unbelief, goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. It's not like there's a kind of a big demon that you have to fast and pray to cast out. The context of their inability to actually cast out devil is unbelief. There are some unbelief that are really suited. See, some unbelief, they are well armed with a lot of superstition around them, sitting strongly in your subconscious. And one of the process of getting out of it is to first identify it. Because whatever you don't identify, you can't even fight. There are some unbelief that it is through prayer. That's why Jude says, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It's an emboldenment that comes when you pray. Prayer and fasting. You see, when we talk about fasting as a spiritual exercise that we do, you have to realize that fasting in itself has a goal. It's not an end in itself, it's a means to an end. To fast simply means to do away with food and other conveniences of life in order to achieve focus in a spiritual exercise. So that spiritual exercise could be to build your faith in a particular area. So you fast and get scriptures in those areas, you study the word of God in that area, all right, so that you can facilitate that spiritual exercise. So what fasting helps you do is, one, quiet the feelings, the voice of your flesh, quiet the voice of your soul, and make your spirit come alive. Can I be honest with you? If you have not fasted about a major intense issue of your life, you haven't shown seriousness about it. Because that means you have the time to still want to pick up food. You still have time to want to do some other, you know, mundane things. But this thing needs your focus. It's like it needs your urgent involvement. And there is no better way to do so. In fact, at such points, you would fast unconsciously than consciously. You just find yourself that you've taken out time praying. You didn't even plan to fast, but you realize that it's already 6 p.m. and you haven't eaten. Why? Because you are looking at all the scriptures, all that God says about that issue, and you are busy praying intermittently about it, only for you to realize that, oh, the day is gone, you haven't eaten. All through scriptures, people who majorly fasted didn't plan they want to go and fast. They were just focused on a particular exercise, a spiritual victory they require, and they found themselves that, oh, they have not been eating. Actually, so there are some things that you, some unbelief that need to be dismantled through prayer and fasting. Somebody say prayer and fasting. You will pray and you will fast. And when we say fast, don't forget how I define fast. You fast iPhone, you fast LCD, you fast your TV, you fast you fast involvement in some things, you shut down on some calls, you put phone on, you just want to be alone with God, just fast and sit down with God, say, I must get this thing right today. What is happening? Oh, see, let me tell you, God is faithful. God will not keep quiet and watch Satan deal with you and cause a blockade. No, my God. And don't say, so pastor, for how long will I do this? That's the problem. You're already trying to set time again. Through fasting and prayer, I'm sure you were expecting, some of you didn't see this coming.
They never see me coming.
There are no ways to break out of any stagnation. Adura na ni. Look, listen. Aduake o mena jaduake. You pray na ni. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. That's what Pastor James says. Give it to me. James 5 and verse 13. Look at it. My God, it is same old rugged ways. Prayer and fasting. He says, is any among you afflicted? Let him do what? Let him pray. Let him pray. My God, there are no other two ways.
Don't forget the point. What you call a standstill many times that are demon influenced, those demons are, because a demon cannot afflict a believer. I'm going to show you in second service, all right, in 2 Timothy, how that a believer can actually walk out of any form of stagnation he finds himself. Any snare of the devil. But no snare of the devil can even occur in the first place without a undo of a belief in you that permits the enemy to actually do so. So you pray for light to see what is that belief system that is fueling that fear, that is fueling or that is responsible for Satan having such an undo on my life. And once you identify that belief system, the solution is to hear the word of God, the hearing of faith. That's how you dispel unbelief. Like we saw Jesus did in Mark 6, when he saw that they could not believe and they could not do mighty works. Verse 6 says, he went around the village teaching. He went around the village teaching. Then the next thing is through prayer and fasting. The disciples could not cast out the devil. And the next thing we saw Jesus do was, he says, because of your unbelief. He says, how be it? This kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting. This kind what? The subject of discourse in that passage is unbelief. There are some unbelief simply rooted in your subconscious. Certain superstitious assumption that you were brought up to subconsciously accept as normal. That you can only break off in the place of prayer and with fasting. You know, in our generation, we don't believe in fasting. My God, you break this thing in fasting and prayer. You stay away from shawarma. You stay away from beans. You stay away from gari, agbado, cassava. You pray. And then you will come out fresh with light. And let me tell you, you start seeing coincidences happening. I don't know why, but anytime I pray, I see coincidences. Supernatural coincidences. You will be done praying, you just meet somebody you shouldn't have met, naturally speaking, that will catalyze. Look, let me tell you. Don't joke with prayer and fasting. Let me end with this. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. So that you can know that this belief, unbelief thing seated in your subconscious is a demonic thing and you must deal with it such as such. It's a warfare. Just like Reverend Mises was teaching last week, you know, but he was focusing on love and relationship. The same thing applies. These are strongholds. The Bible sees it as strongholds. Is any, look at it. Look at it. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. Look at what the Bible says. Then we close. In second service, I will just give you. This is the spiritual aspect of stagnation that you have to first deal with. Because a lot of people just learn the outside game. And they forget the inner game. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. When you stop here, you think he's talking about actual Lucifer, devil himself. But when you read down, you realize that he's talking about imaginations, thoughts, belief system. He says, casting down imaginations. Imaginations means image. Imagination, imagination. That means a formed image in your heart. that is blocking that breakthrough. In second service, I will show you. That's why one of the brilliant ways God does after he empowers people by the Spirit is he works on their mind. He sees every imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought. Can you see that? Thoughts. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Be sincere to yourself. Any area where you have not seen enough progress that you want, it means you don't have sufficient knowledge in that area. Or, like I started by telling you that if it is God-influenced, then it means there's a future he's shown you and now is capacity building for you. Those are the only two ways. You don't have enough knowledge, and I don't just mean head knowledge, practical knowledge. Be sincere. For instance, if I say church is not growing as I want, of course, there are other external reasons like that, the context of where the church is being planted, the people you are meant to reach out to, the nature of availability of those people you are meant to reach out to, all those physical things too are very important. But when you know that, even with all of that, this is not what we should be saying, you should know that there is something you are lacking. You have to be sincere. You see, look, the kingdom of God is like a gym. Like the gym house. You can't deceive anybody at the gym house. If you say you want to remove some fat in your body, look, no pain, no gain. If you don't, if you like, snap picture every day and post that I was at the gym today. If in the next 3 months you're supposed to lose that fat, if you didn't lose it, it means you didn't actually do any workout. It's garbage in, garbage out. Because, you know, we belong to the part of the world that celebrates effort, not results. You see students celebrate how many hours they read until the result comes out. And start saying, Pastor, I don't know what happened to the lecturer. Everybody just feel. How many people? But you said everybody just feel, but some people had A in that department. Saying, boy, I read. I even spent 6 hours. Then agree that there's something you have not gotten right about reading. Do you know that most of the basic things we do in life that we cannot do without, we didn't actually learn them. And you can never know how to do anything you have not intentionally learned. And it's so appalling that most of the basic things you do daily that determines the existence of your life and the destiny of how successful you'll be in life, basic things, we actually didn't learn them. So it means that we actually, many of us, majority of the people in the world are doing things they didn't intentionally, institutionally learn. For example, as simple as how to brush your teeth. Some people don't know how to brush their teeth. I'm like, Pastor, I brush my teeth every day. If you see how some people brush their teeth, you'll be afraid. They're looking for smoker's brush. And so they remove all their enamel, everything. You see them bleeding. To them, some people, I have a friend. If she doesn't see blood, she believes she has not washed her teeth. My God. Until a dentist showed me how to brush teeth. I didn't know too. That I don't even need too much toothpaste on it. And that I don't even have to rinse my mouth after brushing. How many of you knew before? Do you see what I'm saying? And that the way you do it is like this, then inside too, like this, then the other side too, like this, just the bridge too. I didn't know. But we all know it's a wrong way like this. It's a wrong way. You see, what you have not practically learned, you cannot know how to do it. Simple as washing your hands. Some of you don't know how to wash your hand. If I bring all of you now to come and show me how to wash, and you'll be amazed. Basic things. Do you know even how to sleep? I'm telling you. Some people sleep like this. Then they wake up with, my neck. And then I'll have to lay hands on you in church again. My God. Let me give you a hack in life that I've observed from my many years of studying.
most things that is, because we live in a part of the world that practice repair, not preventive measures. Most of the things that experts like doctors, lawyers, engineers, that they give after a damage are usually the normal that we should have been using. Let me explain. When someone is sick, doctor will say, sleep well, take your drug, eat a lot of this, eat a lot of that. That's because the person is sick. Usually, they are the normal way we should be living. When somebody is diabetic, the doctor will say, don't eat sugar. These are the food you should be eating. These are usually those lifestyles that they are now teaching them as a curative measure should have been our preventive measure. So if you sit down and study some of the measures carried, look, I'm showing you these things. If you say you've been praying and praying and praying, could it mean that you have not actually learned how to pray? There's a teaching we did, how to pray. There's a way to pray. If you want breakthrough that will last and that is from God, is prayer and fasting. That's how to break out from stagnation. It shock you? I'll show you the outer games, because it's not all about prayer and fasting too. I'll show you the outer games in second service. Were you blessed? Lift your hands and thank Him. Just thank Him. Father, we thank You. I want to thank Him for knowledge, for insight that you have received. Just thank Him. Thank You, Father. Lord, we give You praise. Blessed be Your name, Lord. We give You praise for this. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.